What's up, everybody? Welcome to the 11.7 podcast. It is episode 48, and we are brought to you by College Baseball Hub. Check them out on Instagram. Thank you guys for listening. We got a great show ready for you. Here we go.
Did you know that there were a couple of announcements today regarding a couple of baseball teams going to a couple of places for a couple of small but very important games? Dude, there was so much going on today with sites being released and dates and times and madness and second guessing. Let's just dive into it, man. How awesome was that?
Keyword, second guessing, because the committee had to have been second-guessing themselves when they finally released the bracket and they were getting stared in the face with questions about how did TCU get in with a 59 RPI? How did Florida State get in with a 51 RPI? How are you going to take a team like Houston or Texas State or Missouri and bump them down to have these basically charity cases getting put in the tournament? Like, if Florida State didn't have the Mike Martin story, where it's 40th season, it's his last one, he's like been glorified as the college baseball guru, even though he's never won a national championship. And like, we might be biased because we're a little bit younger than most college baseball fans, but like, yeah, it's great. Mike Martin he's been a great coach for a long time. He's been to whatever, 40 straight NCAA tournaments. Yeah. But
since Moses led the Jews out of Egypt, Mike Martin's been going to the Field of 64. We get it. But this is not the Lifetime Achievement Award.
This is 2019.
I'm sorry.
Like, you don't win games. You shouldn't be in the tournament. And I think, actually, Florida State has a better case than TCU, and we can dive into that a little bit later. Because
We're diving into it right now.
Yeah, because Florida State won 17 ACC games. TCU was two games under in the Big 12. Weigh those the way you want. But there's teams like Houston, UCF, Missouri, Texas State, UC Irvine, who got left off of this – left out of this tournament that they played the whole season for, because the committee basically made it seem like they wanted TCU in because of prior success, which they actually, they quoted that in the conference call today that we listened in on, and they put in Florida State. They put in Florida State for reasons that were allegedly because Mike Martin wants one last go around and like, we want to appreciate his greatness. And dude,
cry me a river. And I know that we're complaining right now, but honestly, it shouldn't be about politics, man. It really shouldn't. Like, if I'm UCF, if I'm BYU, if I'm U of H,
Arizona,
I'm not too happy right now.
And
you've got good reasons. I definitely thought TCU was done for. I had the slightest little like voice in my head when they were making that run say, what if they've done enough? Because I saw their RPI jumped like 18 spots or something over the last 2 days. I was like, wow, that's a pretty big jump. But nah, like, they're six games over 500. They didn't even make it to the Big 12 final. Like, they're not gonna get in. But they did, and we've got a shout out to give. Isn't that right, Ben?
Well, hold on. Before the shout out, I do want to say that I was taking notes. And for the listeners that don't know, we have some credibility now, because we sat in and listened on the conference call for the NCAA committee after they released it, and they explained why they did things, and they answered questions from the media, people from like the New York Times, from Baseball America, Houston Chronicle. Those were all questions being asked, and we had an opportunity to ask questions. We just couldn't figure out how to punch in. And
technology won 11.70.
Yes. They explained the instructions very briefly in the beginning. I thought it was all you had to do is hit #1 and like, you're into free to talk. So I hit #1, started talking. Nobody responded. And then Like they,
this is a new guy thing, right? We're new, so you guys are gonna ignore us. Like
no, and so we had some questions for him, but it's okay. But we got all the information that we needed, and I believe
roll,
it was
roll through it, Ben. Let's get the instant reaction.
Yeah, and so coming up on the TCU thing, Aaron Fitt asked, like, what carried TCU into the tournament? Like, what was the defining factors to put TCU in the tournament? Everybody knows Aaron Fitt from D1 Baseball does a great job covering them there. And they said that 6 weeks ago, TCU was not going to be in the tournament. And they,
how about
they,
like 10 days ago?
And they credited that because TCU was injured, they were hurt, all this stuff. But he, Ray Tanner, who was in charge of the whole conference call, won two national championships with South Carolina. Now he sits atop of the board, the committee. They said that because TCU went 4-4 in Big 12 series and that they valued the Big 12 as the second best conference, and can, I wrote some notes down, can be good reference to historical success, which is complete crap. Like they basically said, because of historical success, we can predict that they're going to be good that, in these regionals.
Yeah, can I jump into that? Is yeah. embarrassing, dude. This is the 29th. Is this not the 2019 NCAA tournament, or is this like, are we having, what's the word I'm looking for? Nostalgia to 2015, to 2014. What are we? What's the point here? What are we doing? Yeah. Like that? Those guys aren't there anymore.
And he basically saved himself by saying TCU beat Houston head to head. Houston was the first team out. TCU was the last team in. That's why TCU got to jump in. But because TCU got in the tournament, we got a very thoughtful donation from somebody that is a big fan of ours. And
they, let him know why he donated. What is the donation coming for?
The donation is coming for some improvements that we're going to use for software and for equipment and stuff to help grow our coverage. He realized that, and he just said
our magazine.
And I'll get to that in a second. But yeah, he's a big TCU fan. He said, let everybody know, go Frogs. They're not out of it yet. They have a chance. That's what all they can ask for. But yeah, we really appreciate that donation. And James just hinted at it. We are releasing right now, actually, like probably within the next 15 minutes or so. So you'll get it whenever you're listening to this podcast. On our website, we have a new regional preview magazine, which isn't just something that we threw together. It is like a 50, 60-page magazine that has all of the regional previews. We have synopsis of all the teams in the regionals, how they're paired up, what the tournament looks like. We have an All-American team. We have a Player of the Year, Coach of the Year, Pitcher of the Year. We put just a good mix of opinions, facts, everything that you need to know. It's really easy to look at too. Colorful. All you do is download it to your computer. It's like an ebook. You can download it to your phone. It's for completely for free. We wanted to give you guys the startup kit to every regional, everything you need to know about your favorite team and the teams that your favorite teams are playing for free. We don't care. We want everybody to be educated on these regionals, because that's what's going to make it fun. The more you know about this tournament about to take place, the better it's going to be. I can guarantee you that. So take advantage of this. It is on our website, 11.7.com. You'll see a tab. It is, it just says regional preview in the middle of the tab. Click it, download the PDF. It's going to be a lot of fun. So that's another reason why the donation took place. But anyways, moving back to this conference call, because I think this is really important stuff that I know our fans didn't get an opportunity to do. So the NCAA committee found us credible enough to invite us into this into this conference call that consisted of people all around the nation just scratching their head at some of the decisions that were made. And so my next favorite like topic that was discussed was the Georgia Tech jumping up in the national seeding out of nowhere.
I have an opinion on all of those matchups as well.
I'm sure you do. I forgot who said it, but Georgia Tech jumped from like a predicted 7 seed to a 3 national seed after having a pretty good showing at the ACC tournament, right? You know, they went to the championship game, yep. Lost to UNC, but they jump up in rankings, which is a little weird. So the reasoning behind why that jump took place was because they had 22 ACC wins. They won their division in the ACC. They won 9 out of 10 ACC series, and they loved the consistency behind the Yellow Jackets. The guy who asked the question came back with, well, they're not the same team as they were in the beginning of the year. Like, they're hurt. Like, some of their key players are hurt.
Dude, I personally, you can't take these injuries into account, in my opinion. And I'll tell you.
Oh, I agree. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just laying out the facts. So there's no opinions here at all.
No, I'm not getting on you per se.
Yeah. He said that they believe they have an explosive offense and, like that they think that they're the third best team in the nation, which is fair. Take it however you want. I don't think they deserve to jump teams like Arkansas, Mississippi State, and Georgia because of that. Maybe Georgia, but then you have Georgia sitting at the 4 seed right below them, with Arkansas and Mississippi State like kind of stacked up. So they could have used this as an opportunity to kind of split up those SEC teams at 4, 5, and 6. But I don't know. There was a strategy behind it, and a lot of people are now thinking it has to do with the super regional matchups.
Yeah, dude, that's my big thing is I really don't like – it seems like the committee went out of their way to schedule super regional matchups if the 1 seeds hold between conference foes.
Oh, no, that's 100% truth.
I don't like it at all. We've seen enough of that. We've seen enough of it. Let's not gerrymander the rankings and the seeding just to set up those matchups again. Let those teams battle it out against other teams. That way we can really kind of find out where the power lies in college baseball. If things hold steady, Georgia Tech's going to play North Carolina in a super to get to Omaha.
That's exactly why.
No, that's a mistake.
It is a mistake. And I think what happened was that there were other conferences that were worried that it was going to be I'm okay to say it, like an SEC, ACC, College World Series.
Yeah.
And I think they wanted to guarantee at least one Pac-12 team in it with – I mean, not guarantee because obviously they still have to play the regional. But Oregon State shouldn't be a 16 seed in my opinion. I think they have the body of work to be a 13, 14, 15 seed. So they moved Oregon State down to 16 to match up with UCLA in their regional. They also moved LSU and Georgia together. They moved Ole Miss with Arkansas.
Let me pull this off.
I'm sorry. I'm doing it off the top of my head. But
okay. Let's roll through it right now. Do you mind if I take it?
Well, let me finish this real fast. Because I got a good point. So Ray Tanner was talking about how they wanted to ultimately put like-minded teams in super regionals together to, I don't know, get to Omaha.
Not a fan, dude.
To not water it down. To not water down Omaha, which is, and his argument was that imagine if two SEC teams made it to a super regional together, like the atmosphere would be electric. Well, in the grand scheme of things, it's going to be electric no matter what. Because SEC, ACC, Big 12, all those teams travel well.
Yeah, it's not. Dude, we just saw Nebraska and Ohio State bring out 18,000 people for a Big Ten tournament game.
Right.
Like, I think we're going to be just fine.
We'll be fine.
I think we'll be just fine. So I guess we're going to trend. So those kind of our instant reaction to the conference call. The
selection. I still have one more that's big. Please. Yeah. So Mark Etheridge, I believe he works for.
You said TCU.
No, Mark Etheridge is a reporter. I forget where he works. Maybe CBS Sports, something like that. He had the argument that conference tournaments seem to either hurt or help a team tremendously more than the regular season in the body of work. And Ray Tanner said that the body of work is game by game. No game is weighted more importantly than the other. Did you win your games? Did you lose your games? And Etheridge kind of came back, or it might not have been Etheridge, it might have been somebody else, mentioned that the last four teams in all had success in their conference tournament, while the last four or first four out went 0-2 in their conference tournaments. And how are you going to tell us that, you know, conference tournaments don't mean more when it clearly does? Like, it's okay if they mean more. You just have to relay that message so that teams can prepare that and not fall out of contention, right? And
you would think.
You would think. And his response was, in quotes, play a game, it counts. Whatever that's supposed to mean.
That was what he said? Oh, my God.
Play a game, it counts. If you play a game, it counts. Which is the most...
Breaking news.
I'm 24 years old now, and, that quote just makes me so mad because it doesn't answer anything. It's basically saying we're better than you.
Lack of accountability.
Yeah, we don't. We make like
we make the rules.
They're playing our card. They're saying we make the rules. We vote on it. It doesn't matter. Like, we'll look at your games and we'll look at if we want to count it or not.
Hey, we'll look at your games, and what we'll also do is look at if you made a run to Omaha like 3 or 4 seasons ago, and if you have a famous coach, and we'll just like not rock the boat and make everyone happy who's been here before.
And you want to know what makes? And I'm bragging on ourselves a little bit. You know what makes us so great is because
not many things.
Because we don't work for anybody. We don't have to worry about being fired by D1 Baseball or Baseball America. So we can share this stuff. I'm sure there's a lot of people kind of keeping this under the rug that some of this stuff happened, but it's not a big deal in the grand scheme of things. But like, we're educated enough to understand like what actually happened, and we're okay to verbalize it. Like, yes, we 100% believe that Florida State got in the tournament over some teams because Mike Martin. We believe that TCU got in the tournament because they've had past success, because that's what they said. That's what they told everybody, was because of recent success or past success in the tournament.
That's a joke.
And so we're not scared to say that, like, that the committee is not corrupt but political. And, you know, who do we know? Who do we think is the best storyline? Who's going to draw the most fans? Who's going to travel the best? Who's going to spend the most money? Like, all this stuff plays an account of like why the committee chooses what team where and this and that. And if they see an opportunity to make more money, where, you know, the Florida State faithful is going to go travel to LSU or Athens, Georgia. Like, yeah, they're going to travel a lot better to Athens, Georgia than University of Houston fans or Texas State fans. So that's why I wanted to bring up this conference call. I'm so glad they let us in. I don't know if they're going to let us back out if they ever hear this podcast, because I think we're probably saying stuff where we shouldn't. But, you know, whatever. Like, that's the risk we're going to take. Like, that's the kind of operation that we're running. That's what we are grounded in. That's why we started this podcast, was because we wanted the most uncensored stuff. Like, we want the college baseball fans to get real college baseball experiences with player personalities, college coaches, like interviews, that kind of stuff that you don't see anywhere else. We want to get to the ground floor of all the things that are holding this sport back from not, you know, excelling like basketball and football does. And maybe it's time to get rid of a committee. Like, maybe it's time to, I don't know. I don't know any alternatives, but if it's going to be the point where the committee, you know, has a bias against the West Coast, where they don't elect teams like UC Irvine, BYU, Arizona, just totally neglect them, not even put them in the first four out, when they have resumes just as strong as these, you know, SEC, ACC, AAC teams, like they just refuse to acknowledge them, and then you take away hostings from UC Santa Barbara, who might probably in reality shouldn't have hosted anyways, but like, that's a debate that we're willing to have. Like,
right. It's all these little things going in the favor of going against a certain side.
You know what kind of question I wish I would have asked? And I probably would have asked this question if I learned how to dial in right. Cause I'm an idiot, I guess. My question would have been, did you guys as a committee make the decision to put Ole Miss as the 16 seed when they were up 9-1 against Vanderbilt in the SEC tournament? Because they released the
they're a 12 seed, by the way.
No, they're not.
Yeah, Ole Miss is a 12.
No, they're not.
I'm looking at it right now.
How?
What do you mean how? What do you mean?
You're right. I know they are, but like, they shouldn't be the 12th, first of all. And that's why the super regional pairing is rigged with the SEC versus SEC, Pac-12 versus Pac-12. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So Ole Miss was the last team to host. Like, they were the last team to get that host bid. But I think the committee made the decision to let them host before they finished the game. Because...
No, I think you're right.
They had a great SEC tournament, but James, they were the 7 seed in that tournament.
Right.
And they didn't win it. And they didn't win it. They just went to the championship game.
Yeah. No, 100. Dude, I just want to say that you just had the greatest rant all season on this podcast. You tied everything together.
I've had like 8 hours of sleep total the last 3 days. Like, I live for this stuff, man. I love it. I'm passionate about it. You are too. You've done the same thing. You've stayed up just as much. But like, the bottom line is, if we are really serious about growing the game of college baseball, We should make this postseason tournament something you cannot miss, very similar to March Madness. Like, March Madness is something that is nationwide. People participate in bracket challenges. They, you know, they love to gamble on it. Like, that, it's like Vegas's biggest time.
It's a national holiday for a month.
Yeah, and so, like, what is holding back that tournament from the NCAA baseball tournament? Well, I think it is, I mean, there's a lot of factors. Interest level, outdoors versus indoors, excitement, all that stuff. But there are still ways that you can progress towards
parity.
You can progress towards a more successful tournament, even
though a better product.
And I think that right now everybody is content with the game and like how it is, because it's not a revenue.
Dude, change is hard, bro. Change is hard. Change means not, I have to do something different.
Yeah, it's not a revenue building sport, and like they don't want to make changes. So I understand that, but I also understand that like the shortstop of the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers, who won the NCAA tournament in 2016, was paying to go to school there, was literally walk-on, paying to go to school there, and because there's only 11.7 scholarships, and he wins a national championship while there's 20,000 people in the stadium cheering for him, rooting for him, NCAA is collecting money. It's just kind of corrupt. And I'm not saying everybody should be on a full ride, but you have somebody paying to play in a championship game, win a championship game, while you make money and he pays you to play. It's pay to play in the grand scheme of things. Like, college baseball players are paying to play in front of these crowds, in front of this stuff. And then whenever you pull moves,
and then the NCAA still gets the profits at the end.
Yeah. So when you're a Texas State player, and I know we have quite a few Texas State players that listen to the podcast because they've DM'd us. If you're a Texas State player and you're paying to go to school and you get snubbed by TCU because of their historic past.
What a joke. It has nothing to do with the season at all.
Yeah. And so this rant was way longer than I was expecting, but
this is what you sign up for, honestly.
Yeah. It's just like, I love this tournament. I love this college baseball. I think that this is the most exciting time of the year for me.
We're not going to let it get ruined by a couple of good old boys.
I mean, James, we put in, it's 1 o'clock AM right now, East Coast. Like, we've put in over 13 hours of straight work. And it's not like work to us. Like, we enjoy doing this. We want to educate people. And
we want to grow ourselves, by the way. It's not just like,
educate. Yeah, we want to grow ourselves, but we want to grow.
Like, I meant like grow our knowledge of the game. Like, we're not satisfied. Sure. That's what I mean.
For sure. But hey, you know, it's almost that time. It's almost Friday. Once Friday hits, all of this stress and all this anxiety will just go away, and we'll just have beautiful games of baseball to watch, where we're gonna see some 4 seeds beat some 1 seeds. We're gonna see some run rules. There's gonna be some games that get out of hand real fast. But that's what's great about it, is like, you never know what you're gonna see. The better team always like doesn't always win. James has some good stats about some 1 seeds in their tournament, like how often do they advance.
Yep. And so let's go ahead and transition then into actually naming this 1 through 16 and who the matchups are. So I'm gonna start at top and then match them up with who's at the bottom if everyone takes care of business. So you've got UCLA, the number one overall seed. They'll match up with Oregon State. Again, a Pac-12 showing right there, obviously forced. Vanderbilt is the 2. They'll match up with West Virginia, who's 15. Georgia Tech is a 3. We'll match up with North Carolina. Again, putting those two teams together, Georgia Tech vaulting all the way up to number 3. Georgia at 4. We'll match up with LSU at 13. Ole Miss at 12. Arkansas at 5. Mississippi State at 6. Stanford at 11. Louisville at 7. East Carolina at 10. And then another Big 12 matchup between Texas Tech and Oklahoma State at 8 and 9. I'm personally not a fan of trying to match up teams that are from the same conferences and super regionals. I don't know. It's very disappointing. It's kind of like this should be the time of the year where you get to show us something new.
Right.
Instead of.
Well, like, they did. They showed us something new. Yeah. They said, hey, we're actually going to force the issue this time. But obviously it's not going to work out where all one seeds win. And like, there's not going to be SEC versus ACC or SEC, SEC, ACC, ACC, Big 12, Big 12. Like it's going to work its way out of the direct correlation of all one seeds winning. Like, you don't have to worry about that.
Well, yeah. So I guess I'll just drop the number on it right now.
Go ahead, James. So how many times out of in the last 5 years has
since BB Corps 2012
or since 2012, so BB Corps era, has the one seed advanced out of the regional into a super regional?
Okay, so since, like Ben said, the BB Corps era began in 2012, 61% of the time a one seed has won the regional to get to a super, and 42% of the time a national seed has advanced all the way to the World Series out of their pairing with another host site. So those are the numbers there, and you can imagine that the top eight seeds are definitely more likely than 60% to win their regional, and that the bottom eight seeds are less likely than 60% to win theirs, because it just makes sense that the better teams are going to perform better. So those are kind of the numbers there, and those are the matchups. Ben, do you want to go ahead and just take we're going to dive into everyone who got in and where they are, right? I mean, that's what people want to listen for.
Yeah, so we're done with the bubble teams and how we think.
We're done being negative, Nancy.
We're done being, yeah, I promise you, I'm happy. I'm a happy guy. We crushed the magazine today. We crushed all of our content on Twitter. We did everything great. It was a great day for us at 11.7. It's a great time of the year. We're here to be positive. We're here to, you know, provide you guys some entertainment and some enjoyable stuff to reflect on. So, yeah, let's start. Let's start with
I can go if you want.
What? Oh, you meant like go, like leave the podcast.
No,
I've been trying to do that for 48 episodes now.
Yeah, it took me 48 episodes to get you to quit. Like, God dang it, I didn't think it would take this long. So UCLA, number one overall seed, they'll be matched up with Nebraska. Omaha is the 4, Loyola Marymount is the 3, and Baylor is their rival, 2 seed.
Baylor kind of got screwed over a little bit, I think.
Oh, yeah. That's what happened. Dude, when you're a Texas team, you can be sent anywhere. Yeah. Like, you can just be sent anywhere. So they're matched up with the Corvallis Regional, as we mentioned earlier. Oregon State is the 1. They'll play Cincinnati. You mentioned they're the first ever, like, Power 5-ish team to be a 4 seed, jokingly. And then the 2 and 3 seeds will be Creighton as a 2 and Michigan as a 3. So my question for you, Benjamin, is do you like UCLA or the field? Just off the top of your head. So I think the biggest threats, obviously Oregon State if they go on, Baylor, and I like Michigan as well. I think those three teams are the biggest threats to UCLA.
So UCLA better not overlook Omaha as a 4 seed. Omaha is one of the worst teams in the tournament statistically. And like the 200 RPIs, like they have only played against like the bottom – I think they've only played against like 100 to 200 to 300 RPI teams.
And we're going to dive into all this
in
more detail.
This is just me trying to brag about myself for doing some research. But I did some research on Omaha because I was like they got in the tournament, right? Like they must be decent. Well, they turned out to be bad. Like, not great. 31-22. But one bright spot that they have going for them is Peyton Kinney, their Friday night guy, their ace, has carried the pitching staff as a whole. 109 innings pitched, 103 strikeouts, only 20 runs. So his ERA sits at 1.65. He's 11-1 on the year. So he has 11 of their 31 wins, which he probably should have more because I'm sure they lost a couple games that he should have won. Opponents are only hitting 181. Obviously, it's against better or worse competition than UCLA. But what I can see happening is UCLA kind of taking it lightly, maybe throwing their number 2 or 3 guy. And Omaha just going out there rolling a dude that gets people out, like has good enough stuff to get people out. And it's going
to
be
2-1 in the 6th.
It's going to turn into a 3-inning game, 7, 8, 9. Like, who's going to score more runs in the 7th, 8th, and 9th? And I'm just saying, like, I'm not saying UCLA is going to lose because I do think they're one of the best, like top 2 or 3 teams in the nation. But don't overlook that 4 seed. They're sleeping. They're a sleeping giant with that one guy on the mound. After that, I think they're going to lose the next game by 100. But UCLA, the field. Oh, is the field counting Oregon State, Cincinnati, Michigan, and Creighton?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take UCLA.
All right, fair enough. I'll go ahead and break down the next pair.
Who are you taking? The field or UCLA?
I'll take UCLA. All right. I've got Oklahoma State and Texas Tech. This is your 8-9 matchup. Oklahoma State will face off against Harvard. Shout out to Patrick McCall and Harvard and his team. The 3 seed in Oklahoma State's regionals, Nebraska, they'll match up with Connecticut. Out in Lubbock, Texas Tech will face Army. Shout out to Blake Ledoux, former high school teammate of ours with the Army Black Knights. The 3 seed, Florida. The 2 seed, Dallas Baptist. This is my just WTF regional. And then, gosh, who is the 8 or 9? I'm trying to remember which is technically the national seed. Let me pull that up.
Well, Texas Tech.
Okay, so the question is Texas Tech or the field? You've got Oklahoma State, Dallas Baptist, Florida. Shoot, even Nebraska and Connecticut obviously are all tough.
I mean, the logical answer is the field. I mean, you have some elite teams sitting there in the field with Oklahoma State, who just won the Big 12 tournament and took care of business there. UConn, great 2 seed. I like them. They have some good pitching depth. Fun to watch. Nebraska, they have a lot to prove. They saw what TD Ameritrade could do if they got there with 17,000 Nebraska fans for the Big Ten tournament. And then you got Florida and Dallas Baptist. Dallas Baptist, really good, really talented. But Florida is that sleeping giant that
we didn't even talk about Florida getting in.
Yeah, they slid under the radar somehow. Like, they weren't even the last 4 in.
Yeah, hey, thanks to TCU getting in 2019 because of 2016 and Mark Martin earning a Lifetime Achievement Award, Florida goes under the radar in controversy. And,
I'm taking the field, and I think I would not be surprised to see a Florida versus Nebraska super regional. Just saying.
Yep, I'm taking the field as well. I've got a World Series team coming out of the Lubbock regional, and it ain't Texas Tech. Just a teaser. Fayetteville and Oxford, 5 versus 12, I believe. Arkansas will face Central Connecticut State, possibly the worst team in the tournament. They upset Bryant, one of our mid-major top 25s. TCU is the 3. They'll face California. On the Oxford side of things, Ole Miss will face Jacksonville State, followed by Clemson and Illinois facing off in the 3-2 battle. This Oxford regional paired with Fayetteville is my super regional of death between these two teams. There's freaking 6 teams I could see getting to Omaha, everyone but the 4 seeds. So, Ben, Arkansas on the field.
First of all, I just want to say that TCU versus Cal just sounds like a San Diego County Poinsettia Bowl in December. I don't know why. I just feel like they play each other in bowl games all the time. It would surprise me to see anybody else get out of there besides Arkansas, because they play better in June and late May. Arkansas, I know, just kind of messed up a little bit in the SEC tournament. But, hey, they lived from it. They learned from it. They rested up. I like Arkansas to go to the College World Series. But I see your point of 6 teams that could easily get out of that super regional.
Yep. All right. Fair enough. So you've got Georgia paired up with Baton Rouge. Georgia will face Bensalem, the Mercer Bears, with the 2 and the 3 seeds being Florida Atlantic and Florida State, respectively. LSU will face off Stony Brook. Nightmares for them, followed by an Arizona State matchup with Southern Miss. A lot of 11.7 ties in this tournament. It really kind of it's kind of shocking how much we're connected now that we've started to meet people and everything.
Oh yeah,
it's almost like we can't we end up rooting against people we know. It's weird now, but I guess it's just part of it. So the question there is, you like Georgia or the field?
I like a Mercer versus Southern Miss super regional.
Go away.
I'm just kidding. That would be an Upton Brothers matchup of the century, though.
If Mercer and Southern Miss play each other in Super Regional, I'll get a tattoo of your face on my ankle.
If Mercer and Southern Miss match up in a Super Regional, they should let me throw out the first pitch, sing the national anthem, lead, take me out to the ball game for the 7th inning stretch, and also back clean up and play right field. Just saying. For both teams. All-time hitter. You know, whenever you're in Little League, like, all-time hitter.
Oh yeah.
So I'm taking 100%. I'm taking the field, man. Like,
it's a pretty good field.
The field. There's 5 teams.
4, 3. not one, not five, two.
Four. There's probably four teams that can reach between Georgia, Florida State, LSU, and Arizona State. Like, yeah, it would be awesome to see Florida Atlantic or Southern Miss or Mercer like surprise people and become that Kent State or Stony Brook, I guess. But I'm taking the field. You never know. Arizona State could get hot. Those bats could carry them to Omaha. LSU plays better at home. Southern Miss is good. Florida State's the biggest roller coaster of the year. Like, they've beaten good teams. They've lost to bad teams. We'll see. I don't know. I've never – it's been, like, 11 years since Georgia went to Omaha. There's a reason for that. I'm picking the field.
Fair enough. Moving on, we've got Vanderbilt, the number two overall seed matchup with Morgantown, their first ever regional being hosted out there. Very exciting for them as the 15 seed. Vanderbilt will play Ohio State, who got in as the Big Ten champs, with a 2-3 seed matchup of Indiana State and McNeese.
Another four seed from a Power Five. There's two of them this year.
Ohio State kind of deserved it. In Morgantown, West Virginia will play Fordham. Fordham can really pitch it, and Alec Manoah can really pitch it, so that could be a fun matchup if they don't save him for a matchup of the winner versus Duke and Texas A&M. So, my question to you, Ben, is do you like Vanderbilt or the field?
Both.
Yes, I like it all.
I mean, the logical answer, got to go with Vanderbilt. My opinion, best team top to bottom in the country.
Yeah, no, I think
Tim Corbin in June is unreal. He just gets those guys ready to play every game.
He sure does, but I hate their black uniforms. They're terrible. Not that that like actually matters. It's just an eyesore this time of year. I'm actually taking the field, and I'm specifically calling out Texas A&M and West Virginia to get it done. It's either one of those two teams. I'm taking the field.
Ooh, not so fast, my friend.
Why's that?
Duke. Hey, Duke's got a legitimate first-round pitcher. Graham Stinson, I believe his name is, something like that. Duke made a super regional last year coming out of the University of Georgia regional. They just kind of have, like, it's
there's I'm not some, look I'm not discounting them, but I definitely like Virginia and A&M more.
I'll tell you what, I like the teams that just sneak into the tournament, like last five in. Love those teams in the tournament. I think they get a lot of backlash early, and they go out like trying to have something to prove. And I don't know. I see Duke winning that first matchup against Texas A&M. I don't know. Well, I don't know.
We're going to dive into it in a couple days.
I'll look more into it. Yeah. I don't want to give away all my secrets, but Duke's a sneaky team in this tournament. If Duke comes out of that Morgantown regional, Duke Vanderbilt.
Not an easy matchup.
Yeah. That's
the point. None of these are supposed to be
easy. None of these are easy. Yeah. I caught myself saying that.
Fair enough. So you've got Louisville matched up with East Carolina. Louisville is your national seed. They will play Illinois Chicago, who upset Wright State in the Horizon League. The 2-3 seed matchup will be Illinois State as the 3 versus Indiana the 2. Out in Greenville, East Carolina will face Quinnipiac. Yeah, I said that right this time. The 3-2 seed matchup is Campbell versus NC State. So my question to you, Ben, is, well, you've got to take Louisville. They're your national champs. Unless you want to change now, 17 weeks later.
I like Louisville. I like Indiana. I like East Carolina, and I sometimes like NC State. I sometimes don't, but Louisville, best team. I think this is probably the easiest of, like, for the national seed, this is the easiest super regional that they could have come up with.
I think Louisville's the most well-rounded team besides, say, Vanderbilt.
I have some good notes on Louisville in our magazine we just came out with.
All right.
I wrote their write-up, and I found some interesting points of view on them. So
okay, all right. Teaser.
It might just be me fishing for some since I picked him as my national champion, but whatever. We'll see.
Hell yeah, man! So another field or national seed, Mississippi State will face off against Southern as the 4 seed, champs of the SWAC, with a 2 seed of Miami facing off against Central Michigan. They will be paired with the Palo Alto Regional with Stanford playing Sacramento State. Fresno State is the 3 seed matching up. It's UC Santa Barbara. So, Ben, do you like Mississippi State or the field?
Well, the fact that Mississippi State will never have to leave their stadium plays a big factor in why I think they're going to go away. I think they're going to win this regional and super regional. But do not sleep on Miami. Miami's going to go in there and not
do it at your own will.
Those guys are not going to care where they're at.
They don't care about the flashing lights. I don't care about 15,000 people. They don't care about even punching out the world.
They don't even know who Jake Mangum is.
I
can guarantee you that half of Miami's roster has no idea who Jake Mangum is, because those guys, they don't care about anybody else besides Miami. Like, that's what they live for.
They just show up and do work, and that's it.
The head coach, Gino DeMari, actually had an interview today where he's like, look, we're not a bubble team. Like, we're going in there acting like we're the one seed, because, like, we are a one seed, in my opinion. And this is a scary sign. Mississippi State fans should be worried. I'm going to leave it at that. They should be worried because
it's hard. Because baseball is hard.
They haven't played a team like Miami. I'm not saying Miami's the best team they're going to play all year. They haven't played a team like Miami yet. And a lot of the Mississippi State fans probably haven't seen Miami play either. They haven't seen a team that – I'll leave it at that. They'll see. Hopefully we'll get that matchup. Yeah, hopefully we'll get that. Oh, yeah. And Stanford see Santa Barbara pretty soon, too.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I freaking love you, man. Last but not least, the Georgia Tech Regional. They will play Florida A&M at home with the 2-3 seed matchup of Coastal Carolina as the 3 and Auburn as the 2. Up in Chapel Hill, North Carolina will play UNC Wilmington, who is the 4 seed, obviously. Liberty, the 3. Tennessee as the 2 seed out there. Ben, do you like Georgia Tech or the field?
I just want to say that I have a problem with this super regional matchup that's aligned, because these two teams literally just played 2 days ago in the ACC tournament championship. Like, the championship of the league, and you're going to make those two teams play. It's just ridiculous. But we're over that. I'm not being negative anymore, James. I can't do it. That's not who I am. I've never been that negative person.
Dude, I've known you for a long time. If people have called you a lot of things, but
negative. That is a good way to put it. I like Tennessee. Maybe I shouldn't have said that until next episode. But
no, you like Tennessee. Come on, man. They're a good two seed.
Tennessee's coming out of this super regional pairing. I'm willing to put money on it. They've
got star power.
They have a little bit of swagger. They have a little bit of just grit to them.
I love their coach.
And the coach, man, I'd go to war for that guy. I've never even talked to him before.
I'm going to war for him on the podcast. I don't know what you're talking about. So you're taking the field.
I'm taking the field. I guess it's safe to say the field, because then you get 7 other teams.
Yeah.
But that's Tennessee.
That's how the math works. Yeah.
Tennessee's my pick.
All right. I have to take the field because North Carolina's in it. So that's a preview. We've now gone over every team in this tournament. Ben,
Let us hear your thoughts, guys, the fans. Yes. We want to hear if you guys think we messed up somewhere and you think that we shouldn't have taken the field, or maybe we should have taken the field in a scenario. Let us hear it. We want to hear your input. That's what makes us different than everybody else. We're not going to shoo you away unless there are scenarios where, like, you cross the line, like, we probably will block you. Don't say you're going to come beat us up, because we're not violent people. But yeah, let's hear your thoughts. Like, if you think that the field is a sure lock in the Georgia Tech regional or Vanderbilt regional, like, let us know. We like hearing your opinions. We want to interact with you guys. We think we do a good job of interacting with everybody that comes our way. So
everyone that acts in good faith anyways. Yeah.
Social media is your friend. It's our friend. That's what makes 2019 so great. There we go. James, anything else you want to do before we wrap up the podcast? I kind of, like, not blacked out, but, like, kind of just lost my train of thought, like, halfway through the podcast. And
dude, it's because you got in touch with the force of baseball, man. You just let it fly, man. I love
it. I know what I'm going to say before we go. Next show, we're going to dive into all the regionals, like we said. We're going to give you some fun facts and fun tidbits about these teams, like every single team, 1 through 64. Who's the, you know, what makes them great? What makes them not good? What it's going to take for them to move on past the regional? All that fun stuff. You guys go check out our All American teams that we have in the magazine. We're going to also, we have a Coach of the Year, Player of the Year, Pitcher of the Year. But one of the interesting facts that I found today doing research for Illinois State. And we have a very, very passionate Illinois State baseball fan that follows us on all social media.
Jared O'Brien,
I have something that I've never seen before on a player from Illinois State. Pitcher Brett Wicklund. And we're about to make this kid probably famous. Brett Wicklund of Illinois State. 4-4 record, 5.4 ERA. Very average, very good. He has a shutout this year, which is awesome. Complete game shutout. We love those. So 64 innings pitched. This is where it gets fun. 64 innings pitched breaks down to, 192 outs.
Don't make me do the math. 74 times 3, 222.
222 outs. I still think that's not right.
I'll do it again.
64 times
3. Oh, I thought you said 74.
64 times 3 is 192. I was right.
Yeah.
So 192 outs this year. Only 8 walks and 28 strikeouts. And you guys are thinking, like, what was so significant about that? Well, that means he strikes out one batter. He walks one batter every 8 innings and strikes out one every 3 innings. So
nuts.
Totally it's very, very low percentage, which basically means that he gives up contact like 81% of the time. No, more than that.
It's nuts, dude. It's unreal.
It's like close to 90% of the time. Contact is on the ball. Put it in perspective that he has a teammate with 68 innings pitched, 72 strikeouts. Teammate with 60 innings pitched, 54 strikeouts. A teammate with 90 innings pitched with 101 strikeouts. Like, strikeouts are, like, they're going to come. Like, you face bad hitters. Like, you face hitters that can't see the ball. He doesn't strike anybody out. He doesn't walk anybody. So, defense look alive. I thought that was a fun tidbit. Never seen anything like it. Brett Wicklund, we love you. Throw those BP fastballs. Force contact. And he gets weak contact, apparently, because, like, he doesn't give up a ton of runs. So, amen, there you brother. Go. That's a little fun fact. You guys probably don't care about it, but whenever you've been staring at college baseball stats and videos and that for, 28 out of the last 35 hours.
28 in the last 24 hours.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. You find stuff kind of funny and hilarious. So we'll end on that light note. You guys enjoy the rest of your Tuesday/Wednesday. We'll be back Wednesday night with another episode that's going to preview all of the we're gonna dive really deep. Like, it's gonna
this is the show to get. If you want to know who is good at what, which teams can pitch, which teams can hit, who are their best players, what are their strengths, what are their weaknesses, how do they match up against each other, like, I think we're gonna dive into it better than anyone else around the country, and I'm putting my foot down on it.
Send us some questions. We want to hear them too. Bye guys.